Hello, welcome once again to the Candid Cast. Today I am hosting once again my friend, my sister, Mrs. Toni Omolaoye. She has handled two episodes of coming to ask questions on topics that we have handled before, and those things that are questions that are drawn from comments from our audience. You are welcome, Toni. It's nice having you once again.
You
are welcome
to Candid Cast Studio. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm really honored to be here. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Yes, last episode was really enlightening. And like you said, there was a lot of feedback. And I'm hoping that this episode would also be as enriching as others.
It sure will.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. So we can just get right into the questions.
Okay.
All right, sir. Okay. So on one of the topics treated on the cast, service.
Yeah.
And basically, I think you define service as what we do for others, seeking out for the interest of others and just doing it every time. Yeah. Now, sir, how do we balance between our personal interests and service, especially because you said something as regards for you to even be in business and thrive, it has to be that you are going in with the mindset of doing something for other people. Mm-hmm. So where does our personal interest stand?
You know, it takes me to what Jesus said in the Bible. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Mm. And every other thing will be added to you. Mm. The problem that we have as human beings is that we look away from that thing that we are asked to seek and we begin to look for the thing that will be added. Mm. Naturally, in life, God loves people. He created all human beings. He loves everybody. And the moment you begin to seek the well-being of people, God takes you over. That's my firm belief, and I have no reason to doubt that conviction. I have tried it severally. When you are selfish, you are only pursuing what you will get. You will hurt your best interest. Mm. People will begin to run away from you. People will start to avoid you. But when they know that what you are doing will benefit them, they come to you. If you are an employer of labor and your workers see that all you are seeking is your personal gain, you will not get faithful workers. They will not be loyal to you. Mm. But when they see that you hold their interest higher than the profit, they will put their all in. And you will get more profit than you will ordinarily get if you are a selfish person. So you have employers that will not pay workers' salary because you want to get all the money to yourself. That's selfishness. Mm. But how do you think that business will grow? Mm. It will die. Mm. Once your goal is the interest of others, that your personal interest that you are not seeking will pursue you, you will get much more than you could ever imagine if we are pursuing personal interest.
Mm. Okay, sir, just to throw more light on this question, I'm thinking that at least to some extent, what you intend to achieve, let me not call it personal interest, so that it doesn't sound so selfish now, but there's just some basic requirements to get you along so that you can actually achieve the ultimate goal. Basic requirements, like for instance, if you are beginning a business, you need to make a lead. You have to be sure that there's a little profit coming in to help you go by. How do you balance these things?
Service is not rendered at a loss. The fact that you are people focused does not mean that you will not make profit.
Okay.
If you don't make profit, the business will not be sustainable. Mm. Let's take Graham Bell, the man that invented telephone. You look at somebody who say, how is it that we cannot sit here and speak to somebody in the next street? And they started, there should be a way of speaking to somebody that you are not seeing. Mm. And you put one box here, you tie cables to it, and the cable will transmit voice to another place, and they begin to hear each other. And that became telephone. He was not looking at, if I do this telephone, I'll become the richest man in the world. No. He was looking at how to solve human problem. Mm. But when he did it, did he make money? The answer is yes. Most of the people that make money, I was watching the video of the start of Amazon. Do you know that the Amazon app made losses for 25 years before it break even?
Wow.
So if what I get now, as you find most youths drive towards, what I will get, I want money. You see Yahoo, you see money ritual, you see all manner of things that are unheard of in the past coming into the life of people because they just want the money now, 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 now. There is no successful person that made it instant. There is no, you can do instant noodle, but there is no instant wet. You work. Wet has, it has time frame. Nature is the best teacher, and nature tells us to wait. Everything good is to be waited for. You want to have a child, you are a mother. It is not the day you get pregnant you deliver. As much as you want to carry a child, you still have to hold on for 9 months for that child to come. And it's not the day the
process.
Yes. It's not the day the child comes, the child starts giving you water to drink. You have to wait and nurture that child until you get to the point where you say, my son or my daughter, get me water from there. That child would have stayed with you. You would have invested so much in the child to bring the child to that level. And that is how wet is. You are investing. All that you are doing for that child is service. You serve the child. Before the child will serve you, you have served the child for years. And it is so with everything. Before your workers will serve you, you have served them. Before your customers will serve you, you have served them. So when you go out to serve people, the more the number of people you serve, the more the blessings that will flow to you.
Oh, wow.
It is not a function of night vigil. No. You serve people.
Sir.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir. And then you just hit on one of the points that I really noted in that service conversation that you had with us. And I think that I should do a public thank you to all our parents for the great sacrifices that they have paid without even expecting anything back from us. Thank you, sirs. Thank you, Mas. Yes. Thank you to our parents. Okay, sir. Thank you so much for that explanation. What advice would you give to young people who are really, really interested in serving, but at the moment they are actually facing career, they're trying to build a career, and they want to serve people, they want to serve their communities. What can they do to, you know, start giving themselves out as they really desire?
There is nobody that has nothing to offer to human beings. Like I said, when you are raising a child, at the age of 3, at the age of 4, you can start saying, get me water from there.
Yes, sir.
Take this plate to the kitchen. That child has started serving.
Yes.
And where we make mistake is when we begin to say, take this plate to the kitchen so I will give you. That's the beginning of corruption, introduction of corruption into our system. It should not be a reward. There shouldn't necessarily be a reward attached to service. Teaching selfless service starts from the home. When you teach your child, wash the plate, sweep, you are teaching the child, go clean my shoes. You are teaching the child to serve without expecting anything, a reward. The culture of serving, doing something for human being. There is a fulfillment. That child comes back with, I am not a useless person in the house after all. There is something I can do for mom. There is something I can do for dad. The air of importance will start building around that child. And when you go out into the society, you want to build a career. Career, life is not all about you. It's about what you do for people. I say, you cannot be more valuable than the value you offer to society. So if you want to talk of the importance of a person, this is a very important person. It is not his height that makes him important. It is not his complexion. It is what he does for society. And that's where the prosperity comes from. Today I listened to one short clip on YouTube that said Dangote has moved from $13 billion net worth to $27 billion in a few days. How did he achieve that? He went into, I don't want my country to import petrol. He suffered. Was it cheap? No. Everything opposed him. It wasn't cheap. But all of us want to be billionaire. You want to be mentioned in terms of $1 billion. But he passed through at a time he was so frustrated. He said, if only somebody would come take this refinery away from me. If you want to buy, take it. I'm not interested anymore. But he has passed through. That is the type of pain you will pass through along the line. But at the end of the day, It will come out when they're announcing, oh, weight has grown. That's the only part our youth want to hear for most of them. The growing of weight should come as a natural flow from the service you have rendered. Start from that selfless service in the home. Take it to the society. Take it to the community. When we're growing up, the whole street, anybody in your street can send you an errand. And you go. That's where we begin to learn service. People, they say it takes a community to raise a child. How are they raising children? It's not that it takes the whole community to pay your school fees or to buy clothes for you. No. It takes the whole community to teach you service. That, go buy this thing for me. You cannot say, I won't go, you are not my father.
That cannot happen again in this our present.
We can restore it. Because it's a value that should not be lost on
us. Shouldn't be lost. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you very much, sir. So I'm seeing the big connection between service and generosity.
Yeah.
It takes a heart that thinks of others, that is willing to give to others, to actually implement service for others.
Yes.
So, sir, a lot of people say, I want to be a part of something that helps people, but I don't have the means. They feel limited by what they have, the resources they have. Can you please throw more light on it?
So service is not money. It's not money most of the time. To visit the elderly is a service. So many elderly people are dying of loneliness. If you visit them, it's a form of service. And in the midst of your discussion with them, many people you find around in these days of Japa, they are lonely at home, or their children have traveled out, or they are grown, they are now living on their own. And you see an elderly person around you, and you go, Daddy, how are you doing? Mommy, how are you doing? And you begin to share stories and experiences, things that they passed through in the past. You will leave there with valuable lessons that will give you that money that you are looking for. You will get it. You didn't visit the elderly because you want to make money. But ideas will drop in your heart and mind. Yesterday, I visited one of my friends that is a little older than me. But there is no time that I visit him that I don't come out with something fantastic to help me build up who I am, from where I am to where I want to be. You pick valuable lessons. How did he do it? Yesterday, we were discussing company structures in that meeting. If you come as a young man that want to start business, and you are visiting such a person, and he's now teaching you about company structure, how companies fight corruption, how to remove self-interest from corporate service. You have workers, if you gather workers and everybody is pursuing self-interest, the company will go nowhere. How do you make sure? And naturally, human beings are selfish. They want to pursue self-interest. And that's what is happening in our political landscape. People go into politics. Is it for the purpose of service? That's what they announce to us. But you can judge for yourself whether at the end of the day they served you or they are self-serving. If you go out to serve people, you pick up benefits. There is no way you serve and benefits will not flow from it. The honor, the glory you are looking for, it comes only from what you do for others.
Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay. You just mentioned something around going to visit an elderly friend, and every time you visit that friend, there's always something you learn from him.
Yes. And including the yesterday visit where I was learning how to kill self-interest among members of a corporate body.
Okay.
The structures that you need to set to make self-interest impossible to implement. So, and that is the only way an organization can grow. We are thinking of, you want to build a business. You are in Lagos. You want to buy land in Port Harcourt. You want to build a branch in Port Harcourt. Are you going to be in Port Harcourt? No. You can't be in all the states where you want to locate your business. But how do you get people who will stay there on your behalf to run without using their self-interest to kill it? People go and buy land on behalf of a corporate body and say, okay, you want to sell this land 100 million, say right receipt for 110 million. But if it will pass through stages of approvals that you know this person that is saying inflate it is not the final authority. The number of people that will vet it before it goes, somebody is going to do valuation and all. You look at, by the time you finish discussing, you will see why some corporate bodies are able to last 100 years. Mm. It's the structure that they put in place. Mm. But you can't learn all those things running away from elderly people because they may eventually send you an errand. You are going away from, he may tell you, oh, help me wash my car. Mm. Because you don't want to wash car for somebody, you run away from him. At the end of the day, the experience, the knowledge, the information with him, he will die with it.
Mm.
And you don't get it.
So even if you have to be sent on an errand, just look for ways to be around people who would deliberately speak something that you can learn from.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for that. And then that points me to the, I'm really challenged about the way you deliberately invest in your self-knowledge.
Yeah.
Your investment in getting to know, getting to grow. You know, how do you manage all these things, especially because I know that you're a very busy person. How do you keep yourself abreast with the necessary information that you need to have?
Well, Hiram Smith, in the book, 10 Natural Laws for Time and Life Management, he said, you have time for everything that is important to you.
Hmm.
When I say, can we meet for dinner at 6? And he say, sorry, I don't have the time. It's not because you don't have 6 p.m. You have something more important than the dinner for that time.
Mm.
So you say, when we say we don't have time, we tell lies.
Mm.
Just say that thing is not important enough. Everybody has 5 p.m. Everybody has 6 p.m. Everybody has 7 p.m. You have the time. But that time is not allocated for what I am requesting you to do because you have not considered it important. When you want to learn, there is always time to learn. Opportunity to learn is all around us. Even looking at nature, like the example I've always looked at, you look at a tomato farmer. In 5 months, he has started harvesting tomato and carrying his tomato to the market. And by 8 months, he has no farm.
Mm.
The tomato is gone. You look at the man who planted palm tree. 4 years, he has not sold 1 naira. He's watching his palm tree. But for the next 50 years, he's harvesting.
Mm.
His farm is still there. He's no longer clearing to plant and replant and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. He's enjoying his farm. So if you can wait, the longer your wait, the bigger your harvest. The same applies to building. You see somebody scratch 450mm and begin to do foundation. I say he's building a house. He's building a bungalow.
Mm.
The skyscraper that you are seeing, the foundation is meters down.
Mm.
So you see somebody digging and digging. What are you doing? I'm digging foundation. Somebody say, no, I can't do your type of foundation. 450mm, I'm done with my foundation. That your foundation will only support a bungalow.
Mm.
If you try to go up, the way the man who went meters down is going up, your building will come down.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir. So let's assume that there's someone who is actually struggling. Person wants to read books, but the person has a 9-to-5. It's so difficult. And you know that in Lagos, Nigeria, if you have a 9-to-5, that means you actually have a 4-to-10 or 4-to-9.
Yeah.
How does such a person involve himself with all the things required for self?
So when you say 9-to-5 means like 4-to-10, you are talking about the hours of commuting.
Yes, sir.
If I sit in a bus, public bus, you won't know that I am there.
Mm.
I won't hear one word they are saying inside that bus. I hold my book. Get glued to it is the best time to read.
Wow.
Inside the bus, while the driver is doing his work, you face your own. By the time you come back, and if you are not reading, you'll be frustrated in the traffic.
Yeah.
You will know who blocked you. You will know who crossed red light. You will know everything that passed on the road. But if you pick your book and you are reading in traffic, you will not know whether there was trouble on the way, how long the journey will appear so short.
Yes, sir.
You just find that, they will say you have gotten to your bus stop. You say, wow, so soon? Because you are engrossed in your book, that desire to know and learn, it will take you over.
Thank you, sir. So there's really no excuse to say, okay, I don't have time to read.
No. There is time for everything.
What if I'm the one driving?
If you are the one driving, podcast will come to your aid. Put a podcast, learn something. Somebody will be speaking to you while you are driving. Yeah. You'll be engrossed in that thing that you are hearing. That when you come down, like, I have favorite podcasts that I listen to, that if I am the one driving, I'll just put one of them. By the time you get to your destination, it's like you have attended a seminar.
Thank you so much, sir. So knowledge is everywhere. We should just key into it and make the best out of our lives. So thank you so much, sir. Like I said before, I really admire your personal growth, your investment in your personal growth. If there's something you can tell your younger self today about personal growth, what will it be?
Well, I would say I didn't start learning early enough.
Wow.
The value of books and what knowledge is in the books. And if you see anybody growing, you can't grow beyond the volume of knowledge available to you. I mentioned in our last episode that I said my elder brother that brought us to Lagos asked me to thank God that I was able to get somebody who gave me a place to sleep on the floor in Lagos to expose me further to what life in the city is. Some people in the village, they would possibly have been greater than me if they had opportunity, a place to sleep on the floor in Lagos.
Wow.
To come into Lagos, get opportunity to sleep on the floor, get knowledge. Because if you are in the village and everybody around, they just mention problem, and everybody, there is nobody to challenge that problem with a solution. You just feel you cannot be better than the association that you keep. If you are associating with people who believe Nigeria is finished, nothing good can come out of Nigeria, and that's your circle where you operate, I'm sure nothing good will come out of anybody in that circle. But you mix with people who will tell you that Nigeria, what is wrong with Nigeria? The richest man in Africa came out of it.
Nigeria.
Yes. Why is it? You talk of power failure, you talk of bad road, you talk of somebody passed through all those things to become the richest man in Africa. So what's your problem? What will you say is holding you back?
Thank you so much, sir. Please, I want to go on a personal question now. The last time I visited one of the stores, I personally was very wild. I was wild because I was, in my mind, I was just saying that if I had to do this, at what level would I have been playing? So I saw the excellence that you put in it. I saw the gravity of the store. It was bigger than even the one I'd seen before. So how do you fuel your imagination? How do you work on your imagination such that you are able to, you know, bring out something as tangible as that?
You know, I said, if you don't have a role model, you cannot play your role well. When I wanted to go into the stock market, I looked at what Warren Buffett was doing. That's the most successful man in the stock market investment in the world. And when you are trying to copy Warren Buffett, you see yourself as a non-starter. Anytime, no matter what you have done in Nigeria, it's like you've started nothing. When I wanted to do supermarket, I picked up books on
Walmart.
Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, and started reading. Whatever you think that I have done, when you look at the supermarket, I look at Walmart covering over 90 countries. And me, I'm just in Lagos status. I'm a non-starter. The person you are looking at is the driving force. Who are you looking at? Your circle of association. Somebody said it was a Rick Warren that said, he said, show me the book you are reading and the friends you associate with. I will tell you who you will be in 10 years.
Hey.
Those two things are the determinant. What books are you reading? and what group of people are you associating with? So when people sit down, Nigeria jagajaga, and you dance and you go away, and you say, what can you become from a jagajaga country? If that's what you see of your country. You are not wishing yourself well. There is so much opportunities. We have lots of opportunities in Nigeria. But it depends on where and who you are associating with, what books you are reading. For me, I don't see anywhere you can grow faster than the rate of growth in Nigeria.
Thank you so much, sir. Speaking about association, right, so how do you change? How do you, I mean, it's you are used to a set of people. How do you change that association if you think that it's not in line with where you're going? How do you make that change?
I'm not talking about changing association.
Okay.
I'm talking about forming association. How do you form association with people who are discussing things that are not beneficial to you? I will not sit where you are. The only topic is to abuse Nigeria.
Okay.
When I stand up from that place, I will ask myself, so 30 minutes I have spent with you, what have I gained? You mentioned all the people that have ruled Nigeria. This one is stupid, this one is Steve, this one is this, and you stand up from there. What do you become with that? I can't be at your meeting the next time. I won't even sit with you 30 minutes to discuss that. So when you see people, you sit down, they discuss, what is the topic you are discussing? Pastor has impregnated choir member, and I should sit with you. I don't belong to your association. I associate with people who will add value. Like people I mentioned, I visited somebody yesterday, and what were we discussing? How to build a company, build a system to kill self-interest in a corporate body. I can sit there for 4 hours. Those are friends to keep. You can form a company that will run anywhere in the world without you. Company that will open branches in countries that you have never visited. When you sit with such people, you stand up. You are so enriched, you will sleep well. So, if you go and sit in, there is power failure, national grid collapse, and that's all. Can Nigeria ever be better? And all of you agree, no, it cannot be better. And you go away. And you are in Nigeria, and you want to be better. How do you achieve becoming better in such an environment? So, you choose your association. Nobody will choose it for you. And how do you choose your association? The discussion, the conversation in that association must be something that is designed to drive you towards from where you are to where you want to be. If the discussion does not take me from where I am to where I want to be, that's not the right association. Some people take association, if you complain. I went to Benin Republic recently. I went to Songhai Farm. Again, we see who came back. Somebody that went with me was discussing, every country has overtaken Nigeria. If you see the currency, nobody wants to touch Naira. CFA is better than the Naira. I say, that's what you got from the visit. That's what you got from the visit. The type of cars you see in Nigeria, with all their strong currency, did you see those cars in Benin Republic? They are all on motorbike. That's the means of transportation there. You don't find buses. Did you find a single bus there? The petrol station, nobody's entering it. They are using bottle to sell petrol on the road. That's what makes it better than your country. Because of what you choose to see. You know what I saw in Benin Republic.
What did you see, sir?
Okay.
Curious.
I went to visit a farm that is running zero waste. And I realized that why agriculture has not been so profitable is because of the level of waste. So when you harvest maize, it's not only the maize grain. The cob, after removing your grain, the cob, the stem, the leaves, they dry and grind all and use it to feed their goats. The water from the tilapia fish, they remove water from the tilapia fish pond, use it as the water for the catfish. They pump the water from the catfish into the vegetable garden. They use it to grow their tomato and the pepper, so the water is not wasted. So when they weed, They take the waste from the poultry, from the piggery, pack it into a sewage treatment chambers, and turn it into biogas. That's what they used to cook in their kitchen. The soap that we used to bathe in that place was made from turmeric and honey.
Wow.
They produce their soap inside the farm there. And it's so good. Everything from nature. They don't use fertilizer for their
farm.
It's organic production. So they take all this wheat, the wheat there they cut down, use it to do mulching on the ridges. After some days, they will mix those wheat with the soil and plant on it. That's what to learn. I didn't go there to learn this country is better than Nigeria. You grumble. Okay, I say, after you have finished grumbling and complaining, you know the countries that are better than Nigeria. What does it turn you into? Because what I pick from that assertion can do something. I'm looking at, I must produce soap from honey and turmeric. The soap is so good. And what does it take to produce it? Turmeric is all over the place. Honey is all over the place. So you have cheap materials that you are throwing away that you can convert into something. And that's the way the youth should start thinking. All the things wasting around you. I've seen somebody in Kenya that is turning old tires to building blocks. Used vehicle tires that we are throwing everywhere to building blocks. It's a young lady of about 30.
Wow.
And she's already making. So, how much waste do we have around us? Can Kenya have more waste than Nigeria? So, what are we doing with our waste? We must turn those things that we are throwing away into something.
So in other words, there are a lot of opportunities around. We're just not seeing them.
Yeah.
And seeing opportunities, I think, is closely linked with knowledge, how much we know.
Yes. Knowledge creates opportunities. If you don't know, I think lack of knowledge is lack of opportunity, because you won't be able to identify the opportunities. What you are passing by, let me give you the one clear example. You know, we have always been with crude oil.
Yes, sir.
From maybe before the space called Nigeria today was formed, the amalgamation of the north and the south to become Nigeria. Before that thing happened, oil was in the ground. But lack of knowledge, we didn't know it was there. We didn't know it was there. And we stayed with the poverty. We're just playing on top of the oil. Just like there are many places we are still playing on top of gold. Somebody mentioned to me that when they were constructing the road from Ibadan to Ife, the first construction of the narrow road, that the expatriate that got the job identified gold. They were digging gold and using tipper to carry it away. People didn't know those gold bars to be gold. Until a geologist came and said, this is good. He said, that expatriate didn't come back. He ran. So he took the contract, bidded at undervalue, because he had surveyed the place and saw that it was good bed. It was not about the contract, just to harvest good out of that place.
Wow.
So that's how much ignorance. The ignorant person will step on good and pass.
Hey. So by all means, we must find a way to just continuously acquire knowledge.
Yes. Thank you. This is where we will draw the curtain on this episode of the Candid Cast. I believe you have been enriched by it, and you will do well to subscribe. Click the notification button and share our podcast to as many people as are in your contact. Please do share. Let it reach others. It's also part of service. It's part of generosity. Don't keep the knowledge to yourself. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more exciting episodes ahead.
We appreciate your support and can't wait to share more insights with you soon.